CliffCentral.com. Good morning, fellow travelers. yes. Rise and shine. Time to get on your old horse. Let's go. Let's move. We got to go west. That's where everybody goes, right? Good morning. It is Monday. Yeah, it's 21st of September. Did anybody get rain last night?
Got some on Saturday.
Oh, you got some on Saturday. I didn't get any on Saturday, and I got like a sprinkling last night, and I was annoyed because it looked like it was building up to a big storm on Saturday, and then just blew over.
Yeah, it's almost like tantric sex at the moment.
Yeah, it's all just a big long tease, and then nothing gets delivered, right? Isn't that right? That's what you
absolutely,
mean.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, Monday's clearly
really started. How embarrassing. It's kind of like nothing really happens. Kind of want it to happen, but it doesn't happen, you know?
A lot of poop and donor and then nothing.
No, exactly.
No, on my side, we had quite a bit, actually. It was fun.
Good for you. Lucky you. I don't know what you've done to deserve it. The rest of us didn't.
The first rains.
So, anything fun happen over the weekend?
We weekended.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you two, because I know you were talking about missing going out and doing normal things. So, did you end up doing anything?
Nope. I was at home. I had a couple people around on Friday night, which was fun. And otherwise, no, it was very chilled. It was nice and relaxed. But I always feel like after the weekend, I could do with another weekend. You know?
Yeah.
That's like wanting a holiday after a holiday.
Well, yes. But we do have a long weekend coming up this week.
Yes, that's right.
So we will not be here on Thursday. Thursday's a public holiday. And I'll let you know about Friday. We may make some changes there as well. I mean, you know, if there's a public holiday and then there's a weekend one day after that, people are like, really? Do you have to do anything on the Friday? So we'll see.
But C and I... Really the price of my bread.
No, C and I do have to squeeze two TV shows into this week. We've got to record two. So it's double the work.
Well, because of the public holiday.
Yeah, and one of the technical producers is off on a weekend, and you know, so we just decided we'll record two in a go, which is the first time we've done that. Should be fun. Sure. It's a lot of work, but it's good.
Yeah.
I always just think about, I hope my secret prayer is I hope nothing massive breaks while already recorded. And even, you know, we've spoken about the fact that we record the ENCA show on a Monday and only airs on a Wednesday.
I know.
Every time log on to a new site on a Tuesday, I'm like, did something happen? Right. I hope no one famous died and there's no war somewhere that we'll be out of the loop with. But so far, we've been relatively fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, that there's always the possibility that could happen. But I'm not a. We're not a news show, though, thank God.
We'll just add a strip at the bottom of the screen. We acknowledge the passing of the great.
Yeah, in case someone really important dies.
We understand there's World War III right now, but here's a pre-recorded episode.
Yeah, see? World War III broke out, but here's our show about the price of eggs in China.
And about how peaceful the world is.
Remembering the innocence. Jesus. Look at the innocence on our faces.
Yeah. This is how it used to be. We'll find a way to spin it. Don't you worry. Okay. So we got lots of things to get into today. There's some good emails that we will reflect on in a moment or two. You can also get hold of us if you would like to on 079-748-2090. That's the WhatsApp line. You know, see what's on your mind.
Had more of an exciting weekend than us.
Yeah. If you have something to, you've got something to boast about, something to tell us about, go ahead. Let us know. How's everybody? Please tell me there are no more dramas in your family.
No.
For the moment.
Only good things.
Okay, yeah. Good. That's good. What a relief.
Except we do need to cross over to our family in Australia for a moment.
I know how much you love them.
At this point, you're very brave for still referring to them as family. Out of sight, out of mind, I would have cut them off now.
Let's just give everybody the background, because not everyone will know about this. You started speaking about them when we were still on radio.
Yeah.
And these are people who left South Africa because it was terrible, the crime and everything, right?
There we are. It was three little families. Mm-hmm. Now there are two left.
Oh, has one gone extinct?
Yeah, they died. Okay. But
all of them.
Natural causes.
All of them.
My grandparents.
Oh, okay, all right. Oh, yeah. So that's that. One is out of the way. There's still two left.
Yeah, and they left at the time when everyone was leaving.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm going to Perth.
Well, by the way, that's still happening according to statistics. But let's just leave it alone for the moment. But these are people they really don't like South Africa, and they're constantly trying. And you get different kinds of immigrants. You get people who are leaving for their own reasons, and they've got, plans and ambitions, and they want to start new and all that kind of thing. And they've got out and whatever, they made their decision, and that's all good. Then you get those people who aren't sure that they made the right decision, so they spend their entire lives finding reasons to justify their decision.
Well, this was a very big decision because it was the family business, and the whole family business moved to Australia, except for my dad. And they tried to convince us. They put us all on a paid trip to Australia for a week. We went fine dining. We had all the experiences. Went and saw the new factory and all of this sort of thing. But we decided that we weren't going to go.
Okay. And they were upset with you.
Yeah. So still, it's 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. They're still trying to get us to go there. So this is the latest email to my dad, which he forwarded. It doesn't start off with "Dear anything." It starts off with "Please!" exclamation mark.
Okay.
"Take note. Wake up, Anton. It's coming."
Oh, Jesus.
"The boys will not take the crap that is going on in South Africa much longer. They are at breaking point. How do I know? I'm in constant contact with guys I was in the army with, and a number of them have been undercover training with retired, very high-ranking military officers, preparing for what's coming, and many, many others.
Uh-oh.
They have arms caches all over South Africa. Serious damage is going to take place. At least have a plan B. Get in with Saitlander."
No, you must be joking.
That did not just give me a chill down my spine.
Uh-huh. "Get in with Saitlander. They have an action plan to look after the women and children. Ignore this at your peril."
Oh, at your peril.
"Stay safe, Boot."
Jeez. Wow.
So, yeah.
Jeez. They are just not letting up.
What are we thinking about this? I mean,
they make it sound like there is no hope at all. There is just disaster. The Saitlanders to make sure that the women and children are protected. Whoa.
My brother replied, my brother's actually said to my dad, "Do not send me these messages. Do not forward them." And my dad tends to forget, and then he sends them again. And my brother replied and said, "I will not have anything to do with those racists."
It's just incredible. There are people who just thrive on that kind of thing. They love the drama of it. And then more importantly than anything else, they just want to be right. They so badly want to be right.
But also, they've stepped foot back into the country, I think, twice in 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're still seeing it as 20 years ago. How can you pass such judgments when you don't?
Yeah, but
all you're watching is the news.
Yeah, but they're reading the stuff that other people who are clearly of the same mind are sending them. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, look, there's a lot wrong here. There's a lot wrong in the world right now. Everybody accepts that, right? The difficulty that we have is that there isn't really anywhere. I mean, they're in Australia. I don't know where in Australia they are. Sydney?
No, they're in a small town. It'll come to me.
Kalgoorlie.
I don't know if it's near Wagga Wagga or something. It is.
Sounds right.
So they're there, and they basically are in communication with like-minded people. And all that happens is it's a poisonous feedback loop. So they just keep hearing the stuff that reinforces their current thinking. And I mean, I get emails from people who say to me, "Oh, you've got to hear about this, you've got to hear about that, you've got to hear about this." There are all these things that are all of the same kind of political take. And most of it is not helpful. It's not useful information. It's alarmist. These are the same people who were probably telling us a couple of months ago how COVID's going to kill everybody, right? It's not helpful. And who? Here's the thing that I also find a bit alarming, is that people imagine the world is collapsing around them, that things are getting worse and worse. I saw hysteria over the weekend from friends of mine in America who are like, "Oh my God, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has died." She's the justice of the Supreme Court, she was basically a carcass for the last 2 years anyway. I mean, she's like, they wheeled her around because she was not physically, corporeally present. She may have been mentally present. There was nothing wrong with that brain. She had a great brain, great legal brain. I didn't agree with her. Thought she was a pretty crap judge, but she was an impressive human being, right? And she died over the weekend. Now, what happens when a justice of the Supreme Court in the United States dies because they're appointed for life? The president gets to nominate someone new, and then the Senate confirms it. The Senate at the moment is a Republican Senate. Mitch McConnell, who's the leader of the Senate, has said they'll do what they have to do. Donald Trump appointing a new justice of the Supreme Court is driving Americans ballistic on the left. They have had a complete meltdown. Now, this is not the end of the world. But you'd think if you were an alien who suddenly visited Earth this weekend, you'd go, "Oh my God, whoever this Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, without her, the world is going to collapse." Really, this is what people thought. These are people who, first of all, don't think about the Supreme Court more than once or twice in their lifetimes, but they found a reason now to care, and now everything's going to a pile of shit, it's all falling apart. And Australians are going through as much shit as anyone else at the moment. They really are. Their governments are irritating them like never before because of this COVID stuff. People have no sense of balance. They've just become unmoored. Every issue is turned into something political, and every issue is meant to affect you, and it doesn't. I can promise you now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying over the weekend, tragic as it may be, she lived a full life. She had a great life.
Oh, yeah.
She left a tremendous legacy. She was an old lady by the time she died. You would think that what kind of stupidity are you laboring under that you think she's going to last forever?
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen? She was just going to keep on living? What, have you grown up with fairy tales and no reality in your life? And I feel like this is the problem, is a lot of people have been raised by their parents very badly, as Ben says. They've been raised badly. They've been raised with stupid ideas. They've been told that everything's going to be great and fine and lovely and sunny. And then when the first obstacle on their path gets in the way, they just completely melt down. They fall apart. They're like, "Oh, dear, it's all over. We're all fucked." Ah!
Then you have to move to Australia and protect the women and the kids.
Well, move to Australia. Or, where are you going to run to eventually? What, Mars? Because Earth is the story of humanity. Pick up a history book, you lunatics. Pick up any history. Choose your history book, whichever one you like. Just go back two generations in your own family and see what they were putting up with on a daily basis. "Oh, the world's falling apart." Are you joking? There's more food. There's more money. There's more happiness. There's more connectedness. There's more knowledge. There's more everything than there's ever been. And if you think the world is worse now, you just are completely wrong. There's a guy called Hans, what is his name?
Han Solo?
No, Han Solo. there's this guy, this Scandinavian dude, and his son has continued his work because he died about a year or two ago. And he's written this book about how wrong you are about what's actually going on around you, how disconnected from reality you really are, and how people think everything is much worse than it is. People just, we cannot help ourselves. We take on bad news.
We're drama queens.
We are drama queens. We love hearing how much shit there is around us. We love, oh, it's so terrible. And then we get together and we have drinks and we have bries and we have tea and we do whatever we do and we complain. We moan, oh, it's so terrible. Come on. Is your life really worse than your grandparents' life? If it is, it's probably you. It's not the world.
I think you're looking for Hans Rosling.
Hans Rosling. I thought it was Gosling, but that's a baby goose. Hans Rosling, thank you. What a brilliant book. If you read nothing else, read this book to see how stupid you are.
Taking notes.
I mean, I'm stupid, right? I used to think, oh, things are much more dangerous. Things are much worse. You need to read this book, Hans Rosling. It will set you straight. People think, oh,
it will set me straight?
No, not well.
Sorry.
No one's got any hope of doing that to you, Sia. Don't worry. But basically what you think the world really is, you're probably overreacting. You're probably wrong. So I'm listening to yesterday's...
But then this is part of what confuses me, sorry, with people who panic like this, is what is your panic going to do to make the situation better? So you will hashtag and you'll post and you'll get the WhatsApp groups all in flames and you'll essentially just get your, you'll scream your head off. But what is that going to solve?
This is the whole point, is you listen to these people melting down about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It is just, listen to this. It's fucking unbelievable. Like someone sent me this file of this woman who's driving her car and she's just, she has no idea of how, there are a whole lot of people, they're just losing their collective minds. Screaming. Even Barack Obama is like, he's now saying to the Supreme Court, he's saying to the Senate, oh, you can't appoint a new person. We have to have a gap. But and meanwhile, when he was president, he put in old Sotomayor and nobody batted an eyelid. I think the right complained a little bit there too. The fact is, here's a whole bunch. Here's like a compilation of a whole lot of people just going fucking ballistic. That's what it sounds like in like Williamsburg in Brooklyn. And you know what? You were so affected by the rulings of the Supreme Court up to now. You need to calm the hell down. Yeah, that's what you need to do.
Respective people.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you hear the screaming. There's one woman. She's like, "Oh my God, Ruth Bader Ginsburg! Fuck you! Couldn't you have lived a little longer?"
Like, I were not.
Yeah, I'm sure she wanted to die. Yeah, I'm sure that was her plan. She was like, "Gonna leave you in the lurch, you dummy." Really?
Don't say that.
That's what she said. This woman was like, "Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you, Ruth Bader Ginsburg."
But Gareth, you called it now easily a year ago when we were in New York, and where were we? I think in the 30 Rock building, and it was in Bits and Bobs stationery and souvenir store.
Yeah.
And there was just one side of the store that was covered with RGB, RBG, there we go.
Yeah.
RBG.
It was
a shrine to
it
her.
It was a shrine. And they did
there were
this.
Ruth pencils and Ruth notebooks and Ruth pillows and Ruth mugs. And you did say, you know, as she will, as any human does, she will die and the world will lose its shit.
Well, it's a certain kind of mentality. These are the same people who, when they were busy doing that investigation into Trump and Russia, what was it called, that commission of inquiry that they did? Anyway, and they suddenly were making votive candles of the dude who was heading up that commission. And they were doing the same thing with Hillary, you know. It's just that there is this religious fanaticism, and I can't help thinking that the people who are religious fanatics of the left are just people who don't have a religion. Like if they were Christians or Muslims or Jews or Buddhists or Taoists or anything else, they'd have some real reason to be religious. But they're religious about fucking Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Do me a favor. Really?
Like people are just finding something to obsess over.
Yeah. It's. I think it comes from two things. It comes from being raised badly, as Ben always says, and it comes from boredom. It's like you don't have enough meaning and purpose in your life, and so you're projecting that onto people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I promise you, she didn't think about the people who were devoted to her like this. Promise you, she didn't give you a second thought. Anyway, here's Guanele. Guanele says, "I'm listening to yesterday's episode. I think this must be Friday. Mm-hmm. It would be nice to know where most of these famous sayings come from, like tits up."
Oh yeah.
"A short did you know section, 2 minutes on the show, like Said by Sia used to be." Remember Said by Sia?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. "Hey guys, check out Now the End Begins for some great alternative media and the truth on what's really happening. I have people like Leanne's family on my Facebook. They are nicely in the blocked zone. I don't need that negativity. And these people live in Poland, far away from day-to-day South Africa. But they say the same things." That's from Venetia.
They're still involved.
Yeah.
So, tits up is a 20th century phrase, probably of military origin.
Okay.
There's certainly no mention of it in print prior to World War II. It has been suggested that the term derives from the behavior of aeroplanes' altitude indicators, which turn upside down when faulty and display an inverted W resembling a pair of braces.
Wow, so it actually comes up on the instruments.
Yeah. Well, the tits W up. turns wow. upside down.
And that's when you know it's bad. It's tits up.
No, that fantastic. Poor professional who had to define what tits up means.
Jesus. Hey, we've got to get into this just now. Maybe we'll do it after the headlines. But apparently Lori Loughlin has been sentenced. She's the mum who – this is exactly the kind of mum we're talking about, who's raised kids who are a disaster like this. Because she was the one who got involved in trying to get her daughter into college.
Yeah.
And she helped them get this dude who they paid a whole lot of money to, and then they falsified the CV, and they say that she was in rowing, and she wasn't, and she's done nothing with her life. She's just Lori Loughlin's daughter. And now she has to go to jail because you can't do this. It's fraud. It's, you know, some parents will do anything for their children, and some of the things you do for your children do more harm than good. God, I'm glad I'm not a parent. It must be such a minefield because you're like, well, maybe I should get involved here. Maybe I should. You shouldn't. Like a lot of the things that you think you should be doing for your kids, you probably shouldn't. You're gonna harm them more than do them any help. Anyway.
But she's only going away for 2 months.
Oh, it's 2 months, huh?
Nothing.
And it's probably like a spa.
And then she gets to pick her facility. I've never heard of this before.
Wow.
I don't know if you have.
Wow.
Where someone was sentenced and they get to choose where they go.
So if you, let's say you were sentenced, where would you choose to go?
God.
You're in South Africa, our land.
South Africa, you're screwed. There isn't like a fancy prison in South Africa. They're all shit. Although I've heard that the one, the Lone Hill one.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard that's okay. They've got, you know, space for people to roam around, and it's a lot less high security. But, I mean, having broadcast from a prison once, when we did a show, oh, my God, I get the chills just thinking about it. We did a show from the Pretoria Maximum Prison, the one that that all the prisoners go to when they're on trial in Pretoria, and that's just the most terrible place. Hosi Mampuru. Oh, what a horrible place. Everything about it made me ill.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. They gave us prison food that morning. I couldn't. The smell alone made me nauseous.
Oh, gosh. I mean, we all say, oh, it's just 2 months.
Yeah.
But can you imagine spending 2 months?
No, it's, listen.
Well,
don't do yourself a favor. Do not go to prison in South Africa. You won't. It will not be good for you.
Note to self, yes. It's, the one is Lone Hill.
This is not some adventure. I mean, this is not the kind of hardship you should be putting yourself through. Just take my word for it.
The one in Lone Hill is like smack bang in the middle of complexes. And I remember once
visiting someone. The entrance is right next to a complex there. Yeah.
I visited someone who lives in one of those complexes, and from their balcony, you see into
the prison.
It's called large field.
No.
I thought, I wouldn't want to live near there at
all. I mean, apart from the fact that you know, you're living next door to a prison where there are probably people who've committed some kind of crime in there. In fact, there are. Otherwise, why would they be there? And then you think, oh, well, you know, they're criminals next door. But there could be criminals next door to you, and you're not in a prison, if you know
that's
what I mean.
That's even more dangerous. Yeah. Your neighbor could be a serial killer.
Because at least the prison is locked up. Yeah, your neighbor could be, like, operating his drug den right next door to you. Anyway, the fact is that this place, and they're nice complexes. They're not bad complexes either. But your view, like most people, like, oh, you know, I can see these trees and it's so pretty. Your view is like the prison exercise yard.
But I'm sure that does something for the property prices as well, though, right?
You think it pushes them down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Look, how are, like, mental facilities or mental hospitals in South Africa? Well, could I feign some mental issue?
Ask those poor people who were in Life Estimeni. You know how well that went for
all
them.
Right.
So, look, we've got to actually get an expert in on this. We've got to speak to someone who's... I don't want to speak to someone in correctional services because they won't give us the real story.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be interesting to speak to people who've been to jail for a short while, you know, someone who's perhaps been put away for something minor, like dealing weed or something, and find out from them what it's like. Because all I can tell you is my third-hand observation.
Sure.
Because, look,
See ya?
Pardon?
I think I lost you for a second. Say that again.
Well, because of Lori Loughlin's prison that she selected, really just sounds like a retreat.
No, it sounds like a holiday camp.
Like a hippie adventure. There are no more than 300 inmates allowed at this facility. And you get to choose between such prison activities like Pilates, yoga, spinning, step aerobics as your daily exercise programs. And then also in the afternoons, you get to choose between crocheting and beading and painting and origami as crafts.
Sounds like the kind of thing that most people would want to go off to for 2 months to just de-stress.
So it's not like making number plates.
No. You have to also take classes, and you can choose between guitar theory, nutrition, wellness, or songwriting.
Oh, my word.
No, you see, I hate to say this, but prison has to be unpleasant. If it sounds as good as this, this is not prison.
It is. That's it's not
prison.
Going to be a deterrent.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And plus, I think it's – I've always believed it would be a really good thing if prisoners were put to work. Fixing roads, tidying up. You know, this country's such a mess. If we just had gangs of chain gangs of prisoners out there cleaning up along the sides of our roads, that would make me happy. I'd feel like, okay, I'm glad we're paying for this because there's something, they're making the country a little bit cleaner and a little bit less of a fucking dump. That would
Don't
be
we
enough.
Have community service like they do in
Well,
the US?
I want to see these people cleaning up. I don't see why prisoners should be sitting in these hideous prisons in South Africa doing nothing. Get them out in the fresh air. Get them cleaning up, please. Can we just do this? Why are they just languishing?
Maybe it's just the risk. I mean, prisoners escape all the time, and they're not even out on the streets doing work.
Yeah, I don't believe in these prisons that are like hotels.
Mm.
And
you know. Yeah. It reminds me, I'm watching a series on Netflix called Ratched.
What's that?
It's about Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, right. Okay. Ooh.
So it's a prequel. It would be a prequel to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
Because in that film, she just appears, appears as a character. She's just known as Nurse Ratched, and she's this horrible, cold clinical woman.
Right.
So obviously the creators of the show have thought to themselves, what would she have been like before and what made her into that person? And so they've created this whole show, and it's just beautifully filmed. I mean, it's set in the 1940s, and it's based very much on when lobotomies first began.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's extremely creepy, and it's in this mental hospital. And it's a lot of it is based on fact. I did look it up and researched lobotomies and when they first started, et cetera. And of course, famously, there was Rosemary Kennedy who had hers.
Yeah. I think I told that story. Uncle Ted actually came onto the show.
It is
told
your favorite.
There's a list of people who are quite famous who've had it done. But literally, I thought it was like cutting the skull and removing a part of the brain from the front. But it was actually drilling from the side into the temple.
Yeah.
And it's done very quickly. It's just a big fat drill that goes in and out. And you're only mildly sedated as a patient.
Correct.
Because you can't feel brain pain. Just the fact that one out of four people would die from it. And then obviously everything else went horribly wrong and tits up. Because people would lose their personality or not be able to talk and...
Here we go. Tits up again. Great way to say it.
Yeah. But that institute is just so creepy. They use hot and cold therapy where they put you in an extremely hot bath and then into ice water.
Ugh.
All to help mental illness.
Yeah.
So, well, look, and then it gets into a tricky conversation with people saying, well, what is the purpose of a prison? Is it to, you know, correct people? That's why we even call it a correctional service. And, you know, if it is just this horrible place, then people will come out after their sentence even worse than how they came in.
Well, they do anyway. Currently, they do. That's why I'm saying let's at least get something out of them. And here, for example, we've got to get to the headlines, but Lesejo says, if the prisoners do work and have to build roads, etc., do they get a salary from the prison, or did they just slave for free? I'm afraid they slave for free because we're paying for their food and lodging.
Yeah.
I mean, prisoners cost us a lot of money. They really do. Anyway, let's get to the headlines. We've got lots to do this morning and we don't have time to waste. First of all, Orange Farm residents on Sunday said they wanted answers after two children were found dead in the area hours after they were reported missing. Community in the south of Joburg held a prayer service in the afternoon at the spot where the bodies were found. It is understood the children disappeared while walking home from a nearby salon on Friday. Gauteng police said they're searching for the people who were responsible for the children's disappearance and murder. They escalated the matter to provincial level. Ugly, ugly story. And then weapons and ammunition were found hidden in the doctor's quarters at Baragwanath Hospital. Listen to this. Gauteng Health Department on Sunday said that three firearms were found in the hospital with ammunition at one of the unoccupied doctor's quarters. Security officers at the facility made the discovery during a routine patrol. They found 47 bullets, three 9mm handguns, two pepper sprays, two handcuffs, one SAPS reflector vest, and a police cap. It was unclear how they ended up in the doctor's quarters. Acting Gauteng MEC for Health, Jacob Mamabolo, said he was concerned about the development because it puts the life of patients in danger. You think? Idiot. All right, so there we go. There's the Gauteng Health Department showing they don't know what the hell's going on. These are the people, by the way, who are going to save you from COVID. A non-profit organization, Forensics for Justice, on Sunday offered R1 million reward in exchange for information that leads to the arrest and the conviction of a person or people who arranged the murder of top cop Charles Kinnear. Remember, Lieutenant Colonel Kinnear was shot and killed outside his Bishop Lavis home on Friday afternoon. He served the police for 31 years. Wow. It's a good cop, this, and now he's been killed. You see, gangsters and all kinds of other shadowy stuff going on here. Forensics for Justice said it could not stand idly by while the criminal underworld assassinated ethical, hardworking police officers. We should all be upset about this.
Sure.
The organization said, having fought to rid the criminal justice system of evil and corruption for many years, it would not allow the Western Cape to be the province that took South Africa on a slippery slope to lawlessness. And rightly so. Everyone, I think, would supply that, you know, whatever support we could. And then, I did mention this, but Trump's plan to replace Ginsburg is an abuse of power, according to Joe Biden, who they found on a swing in the playground of a nearby school. Smelling the hair of some child.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding about that last part, but you know what I mean. So Donald Trump's move to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg before the presidential election is an abuse of power, according to Joe Biden. It's amazing. Presidents aren't elected for 3 years, but every time they're elected for 4 years, but every time that they have to appoint a Supreme Court justice in their fourth year, their final year, someone loses their shit on the left or the right. Trump has said he will nominate a woman to replace the long-standing liberal justice. Mr. Biden has urged Senate Republicans to try and delay a confirmation vote. Ginsburg, a liberal icon and feminist standard bearer, died on Friday, aged 87. Democrats fear Republicans will vote to lock in decades-long conservative majorities in the country's highest court. The ideological balance of the nine-member court is crucial to its rulings on important issues in U.S. law. During a speech at the Constitutional Center in Philadelphia on Sunday, Mr. Biden said the president had made clear that this is about power, pure and simple. Surprise, surprise, that's what you Democrats are interested in, pure and simple. That's why you want to wait for the election. You think there's a chance you'll get in, and then you can appoint it. So how's that not about power? You know, people, there's no sense of, like, self-awareness here, right? Am I making this up in my head? Is this the craziest shit you've heard? Anyway, the United States Constitution, says Biden, allows Americans the chance to be heard, and their voice should be heard. They should make it clear. They will not stand for this abuse of power. Okay, so what are you saying, Joe, that people should be protesting on the streets? Is that what you think should happen? Anyway, so Ginsburg, I mean, it's just amazing, like, that people have been making posters and putting them outside the Supreme Court and candlelit vigils and all this kind of thing. Thank you, Ruth. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You'd think this woman had come down on a cloud from heaven. Anyway, and then probably as a result of this, U.S. authorities have intercepted an envelope addressed to President Donald Trump that contained a substance identified as the poison ricin. The letter was discovered earlier this week and did not reach the White House. They believe the mail was from Canada. Mail addressed to the White House is first inspected and sorted in depots just outside Washington. CNN said the contents of the envelope were tested repeatedly at one depot and confirmed to contain ricin. They're now going to investigate. Authorities contacted by AFP declined to discuss additional details. It is, of course, a poison that is produced by processing castor beans. It's lethal, even in minute doses, if swallowed, inhaled, and injected. It causes organ failure, and there is no known antidote. How do you like that?
So a dose of purified ricin powder the size of a few grains of table salt can kill an adult human.
That's right. So if it comes from Canada, A, someone has some explaining to do, and B, they better get ready for the FBI. Sure.
Jeez.
Uh-huh. The one thing the third world has right is prison. It is horrible, as it should be. That's a good point being made by Vincent. To escape, listen to this quickly. There's a great place in Worcester, apparently. See, if you get to choose your prison.
Okay.
It's called Brandvleugevangenis.
Yes, I used to drive past it when I lived near there.
It's got very nice views. It's right next to a dam, and there are mountains. And to escape, you either have to swim a few kilometers over the dam or run into the mountains where there are lots of leopards.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I'll take my chance.
But I would rather take my chance with a leopard than to get shanked.
Listen, the views there are outstanding. Yeah. You're talking huge, rugged mountains with snow-topped peaks. It's really beautiful.
Sounds gorgeous.
Nothing like Googling Brandvleugh prison, and the first thing that pops up is prison gang violence leaves Brandvleugh warders traumatized.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing. If you do escape, that's what would scare me more, is gangsters on the streets more than leopards in the mountains.
Exactly. I'd take your chances with a leopard.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait. The Google results get better, though. The second result is rising hopes. Brandvleugh prison turns career criminals into bakers. And then Western Cape inmates forced, in inverted commas, to study through UNISA at maximum security prison.
That sounds like a good one. Okay. Brandvleugh it is.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, if any of us get into shit, that's where we're going, right?
Okay, I've got your back. I'll put in a good word.
That's what I'll just be begging. Because I still maintain, we were having these discussions around the Bill Cosby sentencing. I still think he would have been worse off staying not even in his house, to just be reduced to one, just a standard house with no personal assistance, no chefs, no security, nothing, and he has to fend for himself.
Well, like I think an RDP house.
Yeah.
Just even just a bachelor.
Yeah.
This is Bill Cosby, who spent, what, 50, 60 years in the lap of luxury. Take sure. all of that away and let's see what he would have done.
Yeah.
But right now he's still in prison and he's mentoring young kids and he has weekly talks and whatnot. Meh, let's see.
Imagine, Laurie. Imagine you go to prison and you're like, well, my life can't get much worse. I'm in prison. Here is your mentor, Bill Cosby.
Exactly.
What did I do to deserve this?
Well, even though if you think that Lori Loughlin got off lightly, after her 2 months in prison, she still has to pay $150,000.
Yeah.
And then she must fulfill 150 hours of community service upon her release.
Ah.
And then her husband was sentenced to 5 months in federal prison and has to pay $250,000 in
fine. Oh, wow.
Fine.
So he's
yeah,
he
more.
Was, yeah. He was
and
bad
then,
in this one.
Has to fulfill 250 hours of community service. Hmm. And some people are saying, wait a minute, what about their daughter? Because their daughter admitted to knowing what her parents were doing, and she's gotten off without anything at all.
Sure. You know, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I still can't believe that everyone isn't outraged by this a little more. I mean, I know there were some people who were outraged before, but surely we have to, in society, start letting parents who are bad at their job, because that's the most important job in the world, being a parent. Everyone agrees, right? Isn't
yeah.
a more important job? Because you're crafting a person. You're helping a person to become either really, really great and tremendous and useful and productive and involved in society, or you're creating a sociopath. So it's really important you get that right. We should have a parenting awards and a parenting detention. And if you're a really bad parent, then your child ends up in jail because they've done something antisocial. Then you must go as well.
Yeah, look, sometimes it can't be helped. Like, the child might have a terrible mental disorder, like that Dr. Phil couple whose child is a pedophile. So sometimes it's not the parent's fault. So that would be difficult to monitor, but I think it's a good idea.
Cash me outside. How about that girl? Her parents definitely should go to jail, right? No,
I still don't. I'm not as outraged still by the story because, look, let's prioritize our problems. It's not the worst thing in the world. And it's not as if there's, you know, slaughtered three people and used their blood as some sacrifice for their kids to get into college. They are people with means and money, and I think they got a little carried away with it.
Yeah, also remember that they're not the only ones. This is going on and on, and more than anything, they're just serving as an example to stop other people from doing this.
Yeah. But also, when you now Photoshop your daughter's face onto someone else while they were rowing, that's a little too far. Perhaps just donating very generously to the college of your choice and, you know, saying you want to set up a fund in the school's honor. That's playing the game.
I see that a New York court has granted the IDC, that's the Industrial Development Corporation, access to Gupta financial records from 17 international banks. How do you like that? So they might get into the Gupta's finances after all.
Sure.
Yeah, and then SARS has hit the Gupta's with a major tax bill. Of course, they're not going to pay it, but you know, it's pried open details of money laundering structures used by the crime family to fund the infamous wedding, which we all heard about. That was when we first heard about them. And who even knew about them before that, right?
You are now being called a crime family.
Yeah, you're a crime family. Isn't that great?
And they're being hunted everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah, that wedding was over the top. It's still in my mind. It was just a lot.
Did it at Sun City, right?
Top billing covered it.
Oh, my God. Top billing. Top billing. But you know Top Billing, I mean, they're finished now. They don't exist anymore, right? It's over.
Rest in peace.
So Top Billing, those people would either be paid to cover your wedding. So when they would cover a wedding, it wasn't because it was a great wedding and everybody needed to see who was there. Usually the people in the wedding were paying for it. They wanted the attention.
I thought it was the other way around, that if Top Billing filmed your wedding, they would pay for it.
No, I don't think so. Unless you were already a celebrity. Because a lot of those weddings, nobody knew who the people were, right?
Mm.
Nobody knew who they were. You'd see these rich people getting married. They might invite some famous people there because they liked the attention. And it turned out that they were not... they were not being covered as a matter of being news or being interesting. It was that they had paid top billing to be there.
Sure.
It's kind of a bit sad.
Mm.
When you invite cameras into your wedding because you feel, you know, you're underappreciated. You need more love from the world. Crazy, right? Anyway.
It's the state of the world we live in.
Yeah. Well, listen, the world is very interesting. And if you sit and complain like Leanne's family in Australia, then I don't have a lot of time for you. I see our friend Justice Malala also wrote a really interesting article in Times Live about Andy Lelungisa. And he says, the minor but loudmouthed ANC politician Andy Lelungisa deserves to go to jail, as numerous courts of our republic have found. He deserves to go to jail for far more than deliberately attacking a fellow politician with a jug of water and causing dreadful physical damage. He deserves to go to jail and serve his sentence without parole because he embodies the corruption of the soul that South Africa is enmeshed in today.
Yeah.
This is according to Justice. He does not mince his words. He says, you see, Lungisa does not believe that he, like other South Africans, is subject to the law. He does not believe that he is, like us, an ordinary citizen. Instead, like many ANC politicians, he believes there is one South Africa for him and his comrades and another for the rest of us. And then Justice just lays into him.
Mm.
Lungisa and his ilk believe South Africans exist to pay their taxes, which he will squander through initiatives like the notorious Kissing Festival 10 years ago, when 100 million rand, you remember that?
Yeah.
When 100 million rand was spent on nonsensical extravaganzas that he organized, to be told that they would be grateful for being liberated by the ANC and to have everything stolen from them. Sure. Justice climbing in. So good for him. There's something to read. Yeah.
Slightly random, but on topic a little. Have any of you started paying for online subscriptions, particularly for South African publications?
To news sites?
Yeah, so a lot have started, you know, making the shift into that model.
Yeah.
So News24 is now doing a lot of their articles for subscribers only. A lot of pieces by, you know, Justice Malala will only be available for subscribers. And I wonder if, you know, South Africa in general is at that stage where we're going to pay for our news just yet.
Well, we used to. When you buy a newspaper, you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a new idea, and news should not be free. If it's good news and it takes, you know, it costs money to research and so on, and you're paying for really great journalists, cool, then I'll pay for it. But there are very few of those in this country.
Mm.
There are not a lot of commentators. Certainly, I don't want to hear opinion pieces from, like, South Africa's opinionistas. You know, all those people that they put in the Daily Maverick. I'm not going to pay for that shit. I'm also not going to pay for what the Times Live people mostly write. Justice, I'll read. That I'll pay for.
Well, I see another flaw being the fact that if it was 15, 20 years ago, you would perhaps pay because, well, that's the one place you can get these people.
Yeah.
But now everyone has their own platforms. If you follow them on Twitter, exactly. If, you know, they blog often, you're still getting to hear of it. And I think if it's something really, really good, it will make its way out.
I think we should be able to, you can pay for, you know, proper investigative journalism, for example. And I think people would like to pay for really important breaking news to get to their phones. Some people would. Other people just, there's no urgency. We'll just wait. Doesn't really bother us. And these guys are going to fund themselves through advertising, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't charge our subscribers on cliffcentral.com. We don't make you pay for listening to us, for example. Because, you know, we don't want another obstacle in the way of you getting the information. But I also think a lot of these opinion people and these commentary people, we could probably do without. So they must just stop paying them. Then they don't have to pay for them, and then they don't have to get their audience to pay for that content. I mean, you'd have to be really good for someone to actually fork out money, right? Otherwise, you're just another person with an opinion on the internet.
Yeah, and the whole thing is the age of the internet. I mean, you talk about paying to have breaking news come to your phone. We get that for free.
Yeah. WhatsApp groups.
Yeah, just our WhatsApp groups is enough for that.
There's so much interesting stuff, though, on the internet. I went down the rabbit hole a little bit over the weekend. I find these videos, and then, you know, you go from one video to the next and to the next, and eventually you realize, like, 2 hours has gone by. Like, what have I done? You know? Mm-hmm. It's insane. By the way, today is the day 12 years ago that Thabo Mbeki resigned as head of state after being recalled. Remember? We recalled President Thabo Mbeki and Kgalema Motlanthe was made acting president 12 years ago.
Sure. It feels longer, actually, for some reason.
Really? Yeah, I remember where I was. I think Stellenbosch somewhere. I was on my way down there to do, it was over a weekend, and I was going to do some DJ gig. I remember listening to the radio news. I thought, this is incredible. This is historic. Like, Thabo Mbeki's being replaced as president. Because remember, Polokwane had happened, and Jacob Zuma's faction had won there, and Kasatu and the SACP and everyone else had backed him. And Thabo was out on his backside. And then on this day, 12 years ago, he actually resigned as president. Unprecedented.
Yes.
And I think, you know, for the most part, he handled it with quite a lot of grace and dignity. Like, he stepped back and he's never really been back spewing venom about, oh, well, look at the Zuma administration and actually it's not my fault. And he's just been quiet, keeps himself now in his
well. Have we ever seen him?
Yeah, he's been around.
Angry and emotive.
Who, Thabo? He's been angry. Yeah. I remember he got angry when he was president a couple of times. And he used to, you've got to give the guy credit. Like, he kept that cabinet. They reported to him, you know, he was in charge. It was something that bothered me about him. He centralized everything, but at the same time, he was a real leader. And he would get, no one stepped out of line in Thabo's administration. Now, they do whatever they want. They grab a military jet and go to Zimbabwe. And Cyril's like, oh, I didn't know that happened. You know? And then, of course, Thabo does, you know, as Mbulelo keeps reminding us, he does keep his booze cabinet in order as well.
I still think we need to say allegedly. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves going to Cornflake.
You can say that if you want to.
Yeah, I'll cover my little...
Right,
it is all alleged.
Let me play something that's a bit of an old school song in honor of Thabo. Because what has happened to us in this country since Thabo is we've become like a gangster's paradise. So, you see what I did there?
And Brandfle.
That's right. And we'll all be in Brandfle. I think we're all living in Brandfle already, as it goes. Oh. You know, your Australian family will tell you that, Leanne.
Yes.
Correct. Correct. All right, cliffcentral.com, Monday morning. Let's go.
I want to tell you what this is all about.
CliffCentral.com.